Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
All of us that are left, once everybody makes the exodus. I am so glad that we have teenage class. I'm glad that they can get together. Thank God for the teachers that teach them. I'm so thankful. Tonight's message, I'm not real good with titles, so I just called it Colossians, Be Thankful. That's all the title is, Colossians, Be Thankful. And why don't we just go ahead and pray, and then we will get into it. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for this opportunity, my God, to be in your house tonight, Lord Jesus, to be in your house and to be able to go through your word, my Jesus. Your word is so special to us, and we need, Lord, to learn more and more of it. And it's only you, Lord Jesus, that gives us understanding. I ask, God, that you would move on us tonight, God, Lord. The words that come over this pulpit tonight, God, that it would find places in the hearts of your people. We love you and we thank you, God, for everything that you do, everything that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, in my Bible reading this week, just the other day, I was paging through Colossians. We're going to be going to Colossians. Colossians is a pretty short chapter. It's only, or book, I mean, it's only got four chapters. And in the four chapters, I noticed pretty quickly that there were mentions of thanks, thankful, and thanksgiving at least once in the chapters. I mean, there's only four chapters, and each chapter had something to be talking about thanks or thanksgiving or thankful, something along that line. I go, oh, that seems appropriate. Let me go ahead and do that. We're going to go ahead and go through Colossians. Of course, Paul was the one that wrote Colossians, and I guess I should give you a heads up, too, that we are going to be reading from the New Living Translations. If you have your Bible, that would be great. Go ahead and follow along there. But I chose the New Living Translation because it just really reads like a very common day letter. It's a lot easier to read through. So I chose that for tonight. But the question for tonight is, what were the Colossians supposed to be thankful for? That's our question. That's my point tonight. What were they supposed to be thankful for? So, of course, we're going to be going through that, and we're going to find out by the end of the lesson, what are they supposed to be thankful for? All through the lesson, you'll pick up on it. But let's just go ahead and start at the first two verses, Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. And is that going to come up? Oh, it froze up. Well, I can just go ahead and take it from here. Colossians 1:1. If you're reading in your Bible, the first two scriptures say, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is Paul. He's having his helper Timothy help him write this, and they're writing to the people of Colossians. And before we get into any more of this, I do want to give a little bit of background of this book, just to give you a small picture of who these people were, and just some of the things that I found in my studying today. So, well, past few days, it wasn't just today. According to archaeological finds in the area of ancient Colossae, the house churches there could hold maybe 15 people. They were just small house churches. And in Colossae, there was possibly three house churches there. So, if you want to do the math, yeah, they were packed. The mega church of Colossae was about 45 people. If you go along with these archaeological finds, 45 people. So, and that's in three different little houses. They were So there, it wasn't a big church, but Paul thought that it was important for him to write to them. They were a new church, and he wanted to pass on some things to them. I came to find out that Laodicea was about 10 miles away from Colossae, and Hierapolis was about 13 miles away. So there was these three cities. It was kind of like a triangular regional area that had a lot of commerce going on around in it, and Colossae was the smallest town of them. But all three of those towns did have apostolic churches in it, which was a blessing, but they were small churches. So I don't know, how many of you, when you start reading a book, you go to the end and you read the end first? You don't do that? I've done that. I want to see how it ends. I want to know. So, well, anyway, that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to go to chapter 4, and we are going to start at verse 7. And this is the final greetings of Paul. But I thought it was a really good rundown of some of the people that we're talking about. So that's why I wanted to put it at the beginning here. So, there it came, right there. Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Tychicus will give you a full report about how I'm getting along, Paul talking to the Colossians in the letter. He's a beloved brother and faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. I am also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychicus will tell you everything that's happening here. Aristarchus, I had to kind of break that up, Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas' cousin. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Verse 11, Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my co-workers. They are working with me here for the kingdom of God, and what a comfort they've been. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect. And that word perfect means mature. Fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved doctor, he sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church that meets at her house. A church at her house. After you've read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea so they can read it too, and you should read the letter I wrote to them. So you can get the feel that these people are close. You know, this idea of they're sending their greetings back and forth, and you know this one and you know that one, and we're all working together for the kingdom of God. So that's just a little bit of the background. So we're going to go on back to chapter 1. Now we're going to start through the book. Chapter 1, starting at verse 3. This is what Paul actually did write to the Colossians. He says, "We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now why does Paul give thanks? It says we give thanks. Well, verse 4 tells us why. "For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people." That's what he's giving thanks for. It's exciting to hear of new churches coming along. It's exciting to hear families coming in and grasping hold of what God is doing for them. And that's what he's being thankful for. We give thanks to God for what's happening in your life. Verse 5. "Which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven." God's got something for you in heaven, and you're rejoicing in it. You've had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news, the gospel. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. Paul is trying to give a testimony. It's not just where you are, it's going all over the world. And it is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. I hope you're starting to think about that yourself, too. You know, God, be thankful. Remind yourself what God is, where God has brought you from and what He's doing so you can give thanks to God. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So these new believers in Colossae are showing love to those around them. That's one of the things that the elders have definitely noticed. And verse 9, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Jesus, I am asking that you give them complete knowledge of your will and give them spiritual wisdom and understanding. God, all of your people, God, we all need your understanding. Oh, we need you, Jesus, to lead us and guide us. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. How many of you want to know God better and better? All of us do, I would hope. That's why you're here this on a Wednesday night, right before Thanksgiving. You want to know God better and better. Verse 11, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. He goes on, may you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. Why? Why do you thank the Father? Because He has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to God's holy people who live in the light. You become part of the church. You have inherited something. Thank the Lord. That's a good reason to thank God, isn't it? Good reason. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. What a wonderful thing to thank God for. Just a wonderful reason. Thank you, God, for forgiving us, Jesus. Thank you, my God, for making a way for us, Jesus, for translating us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And Paul kind of gets going on this then, and he starts in verse 15. He just keeps talking about Jesus, how great He is, and trying to give them an understanding of who God really is. Verse 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. That great, big, mighty God of the universe that I talked about in Psalms 95, who created the universe, He created the seas, He created the land. He became the visible Jesus Christ to us in the Bible. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him, for Christ. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. He holds it together. He's the one that lets the sun come up every day, and then the moon come up during the night, and the water stays where it's supposed to be. He's just amazing. The seasons, everything that He does, He's just amazing. Everything is through Him. Verse 19, for God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ. God became man. His fullness, the whole fullness of God, came into Christ to live at and show himself to the world. It's amazing. Just the more you think about it, oh, how much we have to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. We could not have salvation if it wasn't God's plan to die for us. That his blood would be shed for us. Amen. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. I was an enemy of God when I was young. And it's so sad to think now how young I was and what a bad path I was on. I'm so thankful that God turned me around. But we were enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. We were separated from God, but yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that our sins are washed away before him. It's just a miracle. But you must continue. That's what Paul is telling them now. You started out on a good path, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. So he's warning them again, you got to keep going. Don't stop. God has done something great in your life. Don't stop. Keep going. This is supposed to be a forever thing. It's a forever thing. So going on into the next few verses, Paul goes on and he talks about some of his ministry and things. But I'm going to skip down, going to chapter 2, verse 6, where Paul talks more directly to the Colossians again. Being alive in Christ in Colossians 2:6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Paul is very concerned about that. Keep going. Don't stop. Verse 7, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. You will overflow with thankfulness. Why? Because your faith is going to grow in the truth. The closer you get to God, the more you have to be thankful for. You just start realizing how much God has really done. This verse also gives the idea that this church in Colossae was a young church. They were new in their faith. And they had come to salvation. They were excited about what they had. God gave them a love for for others around them, and that was noticed by the elders. It wasn't just something that they felt in their heart. It was something shown. They could see that they really loved each other. But they were still young in Christ, and Paul wanted to warn them to not be swayed by any wrong teaching. So verse 8 goes on, Paul says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. There are so many things out there in the world, so many ways of, well, I think this, I think that, what these people do this, those people do that. What we need is the Word of God. We need the Word of God. Follow Christ. Where is Christ bringing you? What is your relationship with him? Where is he bringing you? Verse 9, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. who is the head of every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. I don't know about you, but when I got baptized, I knew something had happened. It just seems like something that doesn't make sense. Why? I mean, I've gone swimming before, and I didn't have that feeling. But when you get baptized, and you get your sins washed away, when you come up out of the water, you feel light. You feel free. It's like, wow, God took away those sins. He lifted me out of that. He cut away that sinful nature in my heart that was holding me down. Thank God. Thank God. Verse 12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. Your old nature was buried. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. But God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He took them away. He washed them away, totally remitted. How would you feel if somebody came to your door and said that your house or your car, here's the receipt. Everything's paid for. You don't have to make a payment anymore. I imagine. I know I'd be pretty excited, but I have to admit, I'd probably look at it and go, first, I'd be, are you sure? Are you sure? And that's what we do with God sometimes, too, don't we? We do the same thing. God, are you sure? Did you really wash me clean? Do you really love me? Why do we do that? When we know God's word is true, and he's not a liar. But anyway, he washed everything away. He made everything pure again. Thank God. Okay, where did I go? Excuse me. Verse 13. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Boy, what a sacrifice. He never did all the things that I did, and yet he took it on him and nailed it to the cross. Now, isn't that a reason to be thankful? God made you alive through Christ and forgave all your sins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's another good reason to be thankful. Paul then goes on to say that in chapter 3, that since Jesus took your sins away, there's a new way to live. You're not going to keep going the way that you were. You're going to have a new way of life and living. If we skip down to chapter 3, verse 1. I know, I'm just reading it out of here. But it just, as I was reading through it the other day, it's like, this is just so good. This is just so good. And my words could never outdo the Bible. So God's word, I pray that God's word will find a place in your hearts tonight. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Look up. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Think about heaven. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. What a wonderful thought, right? When God comes, it's going to be so wonderful. We're just going to be able to get rid of everything here. Just go and be with Jesus. It's going to be a wonderful time. No more weights of this world. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Verse 5, Paul goes on to say, so put to death the sinful earthly things that are lurking within you. All of us know that we have attitudes and we have things that just stick around in our lives. have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Yeah, we got to get away from the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. The Lord's going to take vengeance on all of it. He will. Verse 7, but you used to do these things when your life was still part of the world. But now is the time to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior, slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sin nature and all its wicked deeds. So, you know, Paul is going through all of this because they are a brand new church. They are just coming out of the world, coming into the church, and he's telling them, you know, you don't want all that stuff anymore. You want to get rid of all of that. Verse 10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator. I like this part. And become like Him. Verse 10, and become like Him. Verse 11, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you were a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. And he lives in all of us. Christ is all that matters. And if we could just remember that every day. It's you, Jesus. It's you that matters today. Verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and everybody's favorite word, patience. Verse 13, Paul's really getting down to it here. Make allowance for each other's faults. Raise your hand if you have no faults. We all know we have faults, right? So we have to make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Jesus said that offenses were going to come. They were going to come, and we have to look to the Lord to help us forgive. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Bind yourself in love. That will be in perfect harmony. Peter also talked about this love. This is a sideline verse. In 1 Peter 4:8, it says, I go to this a lot. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That's not talking about just God's love towards us to forgive all of our sins. He's calling us to a higher level too, that our love is going to cover a multitude of others' sins. Those that have done us wrong, the love of God inside of us is going to cover the multitude of sins. And let the peace that comes from Christ, going back to Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its riches fill your lives. Continue to think about what God has done, all the goodness that God has done. Don't think about all the problems. Think about what God has done. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Again, always be thankful. Have a thankful heart. Sing to the Lord. Counsel each other, help each other. When somebody's down, help them up, encourage them. Colossians 3:17 goes on to say, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. The King James Version says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do, you're doing it as a representative of Jesus Christ. If you have him living inside of you, you are a representative of him, of Christ. So Paul keeps telling them, give thanks in all you do because your life has been changed. You've put on a new self. You're not the old person anymore. You're not what you used to be. Oh, I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. You people here in this church would not have liked me as a young person. You wouldn't have liked me. But God has changed me. I'm not what I used to be. So what a wonderful reason to be thankful. A whole nother reason to be thankful. I'm not what I used to be. I hope you can say that in yourself. I'm not what I used to be. Boy, I miss Sister Janie. Sister Janie would, yes, I'm not what I used to be. She'd be back there telling everybody, I'm not what I used to be. I hope you go around telling yourself, I'm not what I used to be. I'm growing in the Lord. I'm growing in him. So, now we're going to jump down to the last chapter of the book, chapter 4, verse 2. Oh, yep, thank you very much. Thank you. I just didn't even take one. Thank you. Just put it there. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Paul is just giving another reminder to be thankful. In the Easy Read version, I like this version that says, never stop praying. Be ready for anything by praying and being thankful. Be ready for anything by praying and being thankful. Are you ready? Are you ready for anything? Are you ready for anything? Maybe you just need to step back and do some more prayer and consider, are you thankful? Being thankful in things. Now, if you noticed, I kind of skipped over a few verses in between Colossians 3:17 and Colossians 4:2. And I thought this was strange. I jumped over it because there's a thankful at the top and there's a thankful beneath these portions of scriptures here. I just thought it was strange that sandwiched between those two verses of thanksgiving, Paul throws in family. You know, well, we are supposed to be thankful for family, right? Because we are thankful for our families. But he just kind of came from a different angle. If you're looking at chapter 3, you'll see what I'm talking about there. He comes at it from a different angle, remembering again that these are all new people in Christ. They don't know exactly what they're supposed to be doing, so Paul is giving them instruction. And why Paul would start talking about family relationships between verses that talk about thankfulness. I would say that it's because these are our closest human ties on earth, and they can be the most difficult to manage at times. Our immediate family. So Paul just told them to be thankful in all things, and that they have put on a new self through Christ. You know, he's feeding all this thing. Be thankful for everything. Be thankful for everything. And you're a new creature. You're something new. You're not the old person. And then he goes and he talks to the family. And if we look again at verse 17 in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. If you think about thankfulness, what's thankfulness going to do? I'll let you think on it. What does thankfulness do for you? it starts making you feel better, right? Thankfulness is going to chase away discontent. Thankfulness chases away criticizing, fault-finding, complaining. If you start thinking on the good things and being thankful for things, you're not going to complain in the same sentence. You're going to be thankful. So being appreciative and full of gratitude, that's going to feed your love and your forgiveness in your heart. Thankfulness, being appreciative, full of gratitude, love, forgiveness, those are all those things. So Paul gives instruction to the family members of how to walk the new life at home. And I know the ladies always get upset about this. I have to admit, why does he always talk to the women first, it seems? Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Now I'm going to add in two things here. Yes, that's wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. But what did Paul just talk about? Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Submit to your husbands as a representative of the Lord. And the other one is be ready for anything by praying and being thankful. I wanted to add this because it's not always easy. Be ready for anything by praying and being thankful. Remind yourself what you're thankful for in your family. Remind yourself. Colossians 3:19, going on. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. This is what Paul is reminding these new converts now. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. And he goes, again, those two things. Remember, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. That's what he's telling the husbands. You're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other one is, be ready for anything by praying and being thankful because it's not always easy. These are all the things that I added into it because it's not always easy to follow the Word of God. It's not. Sometimes it's just our self gets in the way and it can be hard. But if we pray and we consider to be thankful, it'll be easier. Verse 20, children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Be ready for anything by praying and being thankful, because it's not always easy. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, for they will become discouraged. Remember, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Be ready for anything by praying and being thankful, because it's not always easy. All of us that have had parents or are parents, we know that things can happen very suddenly. Are you ready for anything? Are you ready? Through prayers and thankfulness, when those things happen, when those emotions get kind of hot or kind of at a high temperature, be ready by praying and being thankful. And then verse 22. Now, the Bible does not say that slavery is the right thing. It was just what was happening at the time. They had slaves. And these slaves were coming to Christ. So what are these slaves supposed to do now? Are they supposed to rebel and say, you got to let me go now because I'm Jesus's. You got to let me go. Well, no, that isn't what happened. Paul says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. And he's saying, and remember, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Even the slaves came to Jesus, and now they are representatives of Jesus Christ. It isn't what they had, it's what they were. They were kind, they were loving, they were faithful. They did their job the way they were supposed to do. And be ready for anything by praying and being thankful, because it's not always easy. You know, for slaves, for anybody, it's not always easy to do the right thing. So going on to, or in verse 22, try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. And that goes for all of us, right? Not just when somebody's watching us. We don't want to become hypocrites. We want to be the real thing. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Your reverent fear of the Lord. Your walk with God is more important than whatever the thing is between you and your master or whoever. And he goes on to tell the slaves, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. He's our master. And he goes on to remind them, but if you do what's wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong that you have done, for God has no favorites. And then in Colossians 4:1, he goes on and he talks to the masters too. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. So he's talking to the masters too. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. And be ready for anything by praying and being thankful, because it's not always easy. So Paul finishes his encouragement to the Colossians by saying, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. If you get an opportunity to talk to somebody about Christ, take that opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Because you're walking as a representative of the Lord. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Watch how you portray yourself to others, especially those that don't believe. Paul also said that he, in verses 3 and 4, he asked for prayer for himself. He asked them to pray for him. He says, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Paul was arrested. He was under house arrest. He couldn't go anywhere. He had guards there around him waiting for whatever time that the king or whoever was going to call for Paul. He had to be ready to go right at the moment. So he was there in chains. He was house arrest. Verse 4 says, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Do you realize that he didn't say, pray that I get out of these chains? Pray that I get out of this place? Pray that I get to go home? He didn't pray that. He said, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. And then going on to the very last two verses, we're going to jump down to the last two verses of Colossians in chapter 4. It's a very short book. Paul says, and say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. I want to say that to us tonight too. Be sure to carry out the work the Lord gave you. What has the Lord given you to do? Who has the Lord put in your circle of influence? Be sure to carry out the work the Lord gave you. Verse 4:18, he finishes up. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. Remember my chains, and may God's grace be with you. May God's grace be with you. Maybe James could help me out here. Would you go around and pass those out, please? I might need them. You want to go pass out some too? Thank you. Quick, quick, quick. So the question for tonight's thought was, what did Paul say that the Colossians were supposed to be thankful for? A lot. In chapter 1, he said, I'm just condensing these down now. We're just condensing it down. In fact, you could just go ahead. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me while they pass out those reminders. Those are just little scriptures and reminders of the lesson tonight. Paul in chapter 1 and verse 4, in the condensed version, said they were supposed to give thanks for your faith in Jesus, for your love for all of God's people. Be thankful that God has given you a faith, and He's given you love for His people. That's a blessing. In verse 5, Paul said, give thanks for the hope of what God has for you in heaven. Think about it. What has God, the things that are coming are so wonderful. Think about it. Be thankful for it. Thank you, God, for the hope of heaven. Thank you for the hope of another life to come. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 12, 13 and 14 in condensed version. Give thanks to God for deliverance from darkness and being put into His kingdom of light, for His redemption and forgiveness of sins. Be thankful. Be thankful. Doesn't anybody feel that? Just be thankful. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. In chapter 2, what did he say? Because he spoke about being thankful in all four chapters, all four of them. Chapter 2, he says, abound in thanksgiving for your spiritual growth in Him. You're growing spiritually. Be thankful for that. You know, you don't want to be backsliding. You want to keep growing, even if it's a little bit better than what you did yesterday. Spiritual growth. Be thankful for that. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, condensed version. Be thankful for the love and peace of God. Have a thankful heart for the message of Christ and how He's filled your life. Let your heart sing and be thankful. Be thankful that you are a representative of the Lord Jesus. That's a privilege. It is such a privilege that we just, there's so much that we just take for granted. You know, and we all fall short in that area. We do. But we are representatives of the Lord Jesus, and be thankful that He has chosen us. We are His chosen people. In chapter 4, Paul says, be thankful for prayer, and that you can be ready for anything by praying and being thankful. Thankful for prayer. Thank God that He came, that He gives us an opportunity to connect with Him in prayer. There's so much to be thankful for. And that's the end of our lesson tonight. So I just want all of us right now, let's just take a time to thank God right now for all these different things. Lord Jesus, I thank You, my God, for Your wonderful love and Your mercy, my Jesus. God, there's so much more to this life, my God. Lord, our eyes are so much on the here and now at times, God, but we want to be thankful, Lord Jesus, for their spiritual life, for the things that You've done in our life, my God. Oh, how You saved me, God, how You changed me, God. My life is not the same, Lord. It's not the same, and it's all because of You, Jesus. It's You. It's the plan that You had, God. It's Your forgiveness. It's Your love. It's Your mercy, Jesus. Glory and honor to You, my God. Glory and honor to You.